We have a wonderful guest speaker today, a very dear and close friend of mine, Pastor Henrik from Prayer and Praise Assembly of God. Interesting. I asked the question, what is your passion, right? Ask you to share that. Well, Henrik is somebody that I know his passion. Not only is he a very, very dear friend, but his heart and his desire for the Lord is unmatched. He loves the Lord, and he loves lost people, and he wants people to have a deeper understanding of what your life and purpose can be in Christ. That drives everything about who he and his wife, Dawn, are, and they are just absolute treasures of people. And so it's a privilege for me to introduce my good friend and former boss. Henrik was actually instrumental. He was the school board president for like 12 years, I think, here at Covenant, and was instrumental in building the building here and doing that capital campaign with me. And it's a privilege for me to welcome him. So Pastor Henrik, why don't you come on up? Give him a hand, would you please?
I forgot that I was your boss. That is so good. So good. So my name is Pastor Henrik. I am from Prayer and Praise, just down the street a little bit, and super excited when Pastor Ethan called me and said, hey, would you be available? And I said, sure, I'll drop everything I got going and come. And I heard that you guys are in the book of Acts. Okay, so he said somewhere in chapter 4 would be a good thing. So I said, cool. But he said, you can do whatever you want. So I said, no, I'll stick to that. So if you have your Bible with you, and or if you use your phone, whatever, I'm not mature enough to use my phone in the church because then I end up going to social media or something like that, right? So let's go to the book of Acts, and I'm going to be in chapter 4, but let's do a little overview in how we get there. So I'm not sure, I haven't been here, I have to go to my church on Sunday, so I haven't been part of your sermon series, but if you start with chapter 1, then it talks about going to Jerusalem and wait for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And then chapter 2 comes, and then the outpouring of the Holy Spirit comes. And then chapter 3, there is a healing that we're going to be talking about today. There is a man who gets healed in chapter 3, and then we're going to end up then in chapter 4 today. And in chapter 4, we're going to see what happened after this man gets healed. So this healing that's taking place is from a guy that I refer to as walking and leaping and praising God. Have you heard of this guy? He doesn't have a name in there, but he has walking and leaping and praising God. So when the kids were small, there was a song that went, walking and leaping and praising God. Have you heard that? In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. So he is our walking and leaping and praising God. So this guy, when he gets healed, it causes a huge stirring in Jerusalem. And I'm not sure why. We're going to see if we can figure that out today. But the whole community just kind of stops because this guy has been hanging out at a gate, a location called the gate called Beautiful. So he's 40, around 40 years old. So he's been hanging out there. So maybe it's like the way where they're going. He's always there. So if you need to go to Jerusalem Starbucks, and you don't know where it is, walk, oh, wow. Yes. If you want to go to Big B, then if you want to go to a local coffee house, then just walk down Golgotha and go to the street names straight and then hang a right by. Well, you see a guy sitting there. He's always there, and he's begging for money. So maybe this guy has been sitting there for so long that he's a landmark, like that you can always count on him being there. So maybe that's why. But as we dig into the book of Acts is really interesting because it's full of speeches. So it's people standing up and addressing different crowds. So last time I was here, I talked about the four spaces of belonging. That you have one crowd, maybe three or four people, one 12 to 20, maybe one 70, and then one that's the multitudes. There's more people. And that you will address people according to the crowd that you're in front of, right? If someone stood up right now and interrupted me, such as, you know, not being pleased with the example of the sermon, it creates a little bit of a stir, right? Because, and it's fun. I love this guy. We go way back. So what happens is that you're going, oh, that's not supposed to happen, right? But if you go to a smaller space, when there's just three or four people, then it's like, well, of course, right? So every speech in the book of Acts, you have to see who are they talking to, who is talking, and where are they talking, and what are they addressing at this time. So we're going to come to Peter, and Peter has now, just previous to this, it's amazing. So, Peter is the one who denied Jesus, right? Yeah. Talk about a big screw up, you know? Like, if you want to really screw up, do it in front of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who cannot forget, right? So then, in Acts chapter 1, they say, go and wait for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which is a huge event. And then the outpouring of the Holy Spirit comes in Acts chapter 2, and it is an absolute glorious Pentecostal chaos. I love that. So people are speaking different languages. There are flames on top of people's heads. It's loud. It's like a, they say that it was like a thunder that came in. And someone has to explain what just happened. So God looks down on the earth and he says, who am I going to pick that's going to explain this event to people around him? I'm going to pick Peter. Isn't that cool? If you feel like you have screwed up in your life to the point where you can't be used, he picked Peter. And Peter stands up and he explains what's going on at that time with very, very good. It's fantastic. So that's one speech. Who was the audience? Wide-eyed Jerusalem people going, what on earth is going on? So he addresses them in a certain way. So that's one speech. Now, we have seen that the walking and leaping and praising God guy has been healed. So then now everybody in chapter 3 is sitting at the porch, it's called, and then he addresses them. Now he's done addressing them. So this is Peter's second big speech after the outpouring. And now they are getting a little bit ticked off that something is going on. So now the leadership, they need to address what's going on. So I'm going to read 22 verses to you. Okay? And then we're going to dig in to those places. And as they were speaking to the people, okay? So this is after he's standing on the porch speaking to these people. The priest, the captain of the temple, the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of men came to be 5,000. On the next day, the rulers and the elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and all who were at the high priestly family. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired them, saying, by what power or by what name did you do this? Basically saying, what is your source? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means is this man has been healed? Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone, and there is salvation in no one else. There's no other name under heaven given among men which you may be saved. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. But seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. But when they had commanded them to leave the council, they conferred with one another, saying, "What should we do with these men? For there are notable signs that have been performed through them. It is evidence to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and we can't deny it. But in order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them not to speak any more in his name." So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak what we have seen and heard. And when they further threatened them, they let him go, finding no way to punish them, because all the people, they were all praising God for what had happened. The man whom the sign of healing had happened to, he was 40 years old. That is Acts number 4, chapter 4. Let's pick this apart a little bit. So this is a courtroom setting. I am super impressed in how many people they got together in one night to fill the courtroom. You have the rulers, you have the elders, you have the scribes, they gather together, Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John and Alexander, and all who were of the high priest family. How do you gather that many people? I mean, it's hard to get a board meeting going at church. Like, you get all these people together in one night. I think that is absolutely amazing. So the healing of this crippled man caused such stirring that everybody gathered to see if they can fix this problem that they had. And then the question comes, I love this. So by what power or by what name did you do this? What's your source? How did you do this? So they now picture that they have gathered all the elders, all the scribes, everyone in leadership. And then, so say that you are Pharisees, you are scribes, you are elders, and you're sitting, and you plop these people, Peter and John, right smack in the middle, and it's time to ask questions, and they have one question. In what name did you do this? What is your source? So now, it's time then for again Peter to step up. And here's a sentence that I find super interesting. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them. Why is that important? And what does that look like? So he is filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is, I have a nickname from Rich, which is the Hostile Pentecostal. And then my first name is Henrik. So Henrik the Hostile Pentecostal. Which is another joke, I hope. What does it mean that he was filled with the Holy Spirit? Like, what does that look like? I want to invite you into a pursuit of the Holy Spirit in your own personal walk with Jesus and as a church. Search out what it is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I believe there's different levels. So if you go back to chapter 2, what did they say about them when the Holy Spirit came upon them in chapter 2? What was the only conclusion that they had? They're drunk. Right? So when Peter is standing here and he is about to speak to all the leaders of Jerusalem, do you think he's drunk? No. So there was a different manifestation of the Holy Spirit at that time, But I don't believe that he had that going on when he was speaking in front of them. Remember how you can be spirit-led? Remember when they created the earth, or the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit? And the Holy Spirit did what? He hovered over. So I want to invite you into pursuit of looking at Holy Spirit and seeing how he manifests, and also see that he's referred to as a person. That he is the most powerful being on the earth right now, because the Father and the Son are in heaven and the Holy Spirit is on earth. So he is the most powerful, yet he refers to himself as helper. I would just love for you to join in the pursuit that our church has been in for as long as I've been there. And I've been in that pursuit personally for as long as I can, well, probably for 25 years, as far as saying, Holy Spirit. I don't want it to be like just like an atmosphere. If you come to prayer and praise, you might see that I love to decorate. I love to put accent walls up. I hang things from the ceiling, and I do all kinds of things. And then you might say, oh, wow, that's pretty cool. And then you go to another church or another someone else's house, and you see weird things hanging from the ceiling and accent walls and stuff like that. And you're going, oh, this is done in the spirit of Henrik. Right? It means that I haven't been there, but it's done in the spirit of Henrik. The Holy Spirit is more than that. He's not just something that hovers. He's actually a person that wants to dwell inside of you. Do you know that you have a spirit? If you read in the Bible, you will see that there is capital S spirit. That's always the Holy Spirit, the uncreated God. But then there is lowercase, that's your spirit. And you have a spirit. You are created as a three-part being, just like God. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. You have a body, you have a soul, and you have a spirit. The spirit, that part of who you are, is actually you. Your identity and your belonging comes from your spirit. That's the part of you that can hear and find belonging in God. So when the Holy Spirit, capital S, mixes with your spirit, it creates a flavor that is unique only to you. That's why it's so important that not only that you are spirit-led, but you are saved. Because the earth needs that part of who you are. So the Bible says that when you ask Jesus into your heart, you become a new creation. So if you will, it's the Holy Spirit and your spirit mixing, creating a flavor ice cream that no one has ever, ever, ever had. Does that make sense? I'm hoping that I'm black licorice ice cream. I love black licorice ice cream. I have to go back to Sweden to get it. Do you see what I'm saying? I want you to start a pursuit looking for the Holy Spirit. Who are you? Tell me who you are, and who am I mixed together with you? So now, Peter, standing up, filled with the Holy Spirit, he has a flavor now to give to the earth that's never been spoken before. It's not the Peter that denied Jesus. This is Peter restored speaking, and he stands up. Picture a courtroom. And he's gonna explain this, not on the porch this time to the people, but to the legal system of Jerusalem. And he says this, rulers and elders, if we're being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by which man this man was healed, let it be known to all the people of Israel, by the way, whom you crucified. But then God raised him from the dead. And by that power, this man is now standing here well. And then he goes on and he doubles down and he says, this Jesus, the stone that was rejected by you, he is bold, which have become the cornerstone, and that there is salvation in no one else. For there is no one under name, no other name under heaven giving among men by which you must be saved. He is so bold. He stands in a courtroom setting. He understands the crowd, and he understands the assignment that he has, and he is bold saying, you killed him, and you rejected him. I don't think I could do that. I'm very passive-aggressive in my leadership style. But he does. So now, and he's also using their language. He's using the word cornerstone. That's what they know. That's what they're talking about. Moses talked about cornerstones. Like, this is an important thing for them. But then he ends it, this part, and he says, there's only one way through salvation, and that's Jesus. And that's so important for us to understand, that you cannot add Jesus to your life. Jesus is not a benefit package. Jesus is not something that you add to you like a backpack so you look good, and if something goes bad, you can rip something out and say, hey, Jesus is going to save me from this situation. It doesn't work like that. You cannot add Jesus to your life. To actually be a believer means that you have to come under the lordship of Jesus. That's why when we baptize people, we dunk them all the way under the water. Why? Because it symbolizes death. So you actually have to die to self, die to who you are. But when you get raised up, it says that you get to share in the resurrection power of Jesus. And out of that grave comes somebody out that no one has ever met on the earth before. It's called a new creation. It's the Holy Spirit and your spirit mixed, and it is glorious. And the earth is waiting for that flavor of ice cream. And then when I stand in the parking lot seeing people coming into Pioneer Church, I see so many different flavors. I see you guys are unique, and I say that in a really good way. It's wonderful. Keep that. Don't try to look the same and act the same. Just come under the lordship of the one and only Jesus. Oh, I love this speech. He is so bold. So when he's done speaking, they say this. When they saw that the boldness of Peter and John, they saw, hey, these guys are uneducated common men, and they were astonished. And they recognized that they had been with Jesus. So I have a group with me today. They're called family. And we've been in my backyard. And last night we grilled hot dogs over a fire. And the fire, everybody walks away smelling like smoke, right? It's summertime. It's fine. It doesn't matter. If I smell like smoke today, it's totally fine. It's the same way with these men who were just common. It wasn't that they were educated. It wasn't that they were influential. It wasn't that they had prestige in the community. They smelled like Jesus. They had been around the same fire, and they perceived that they had been with Jesus. You become like the one you hang out with. And it's so important for us to understand that. That again, if you're disqualifying yourself as far as saying, I'm not this, I don't have the education, I don't do this and this and this, I just need you to do one thing. Hang out with Jesus so that you start smelling like him. And people will look at that and say, who have you been with? What does that smell like? It really is that simple. That's why there's so much resistance on you having a personal relationship with Jesus. Because when you surrender your life to that, then boom, you will become who you are designed to be. And then they do something that's not really smart. So this council makes a verdict and say, hey, we can't stop this. The whole town is praising Jesus, and for the next election, we gotta partner with this guy. We gotta endorse. So we'll endorse what's going on, but we will tell them not to talk about Jesus anymore. And they say to this, how can we not speak of what we have heard? It just flows out of them. Why? Because they've been with Jesus. This was not an insulated or isolated event. This was just every day for them walking with Jesus. And that's one of the things as I've been looking at Pioneer. I love your church. And I'm just not saying that because it's kind of like, if you will, and this is going to sound terrible, but you don't have to invite me back. Pioneer is a little bit of an experiment that I get to be a part of and see how it works. And I urge you not to become too established. Remain pioneer no matter how much you grow, and what, and because that is that's the heartbeat of who you are. Be pioneers. Be people in pursuit of something. Do not find satisfaction in brick and mortar. Where do you go to church? We usually give an address. I am so attracted to when I meet with the pastors, and Pastor Ethan is with us, and he's going, you know, I don't even know how people find us. And I'm like, oh, that is so wonderful. Or we talk about, well, you know, what we're going to do with the building and how we're going to hang lights and flashes and all that stuff. And it's like, don't. It's so distracting. Remain pioneers. Don't build an event center. Don't build a place where you're saying, this is where you meet God. Continue to equip people and be people that when you walk away from this place, you smell like Jesus. And people go, I don't know. And your answer shouldn't be, oh, but then you should come to this address so we can fill out a connection card so that I can give a report on how many came on Sunday. Friends, I've been chasing that for 25 years. It's not worth it. Say this. Let me introduce you to the friend that I smell like. And if you want to come to church, at this season, we're kind of meeting in a gym at a school. Oh, yeah. It's like, it's not important. Like, do you hear what I'm saying? Hear my heartbeat. I love prayer and praise building. That's where I get to hang things from the ceiling and do crazy things. But I also see how much of my time is delegated to make sure that we look churchy. Pioneer. Be pioneer. I'm not saying, like, if the Lord release a building to you, yes, sis, thank you, Jesus, we'll take it. But don't let that be your identity. Remember, I don't want to ever hear the sentence, remember when we were pioneers? Now we're the established. Everything is always the same. You can't do that when you're in pursuit. You might not be Acts 2 crazy, hanging from the chandelier kind of a people. We're not either at prayer and praise. There's usually an assumption that we're nuts, you know, and very expressive in our worship. We're not. We just love, and if the Holy Spirit comes upon us and we have a manifestation that's an Acts 2 manifestation, we'll do it. But we're in pursuit of Him. And that's what Pioneer Church is too. So let me land this plane. It's a big plane, so it's going to take a while. Let's go back to the man that got healed. That was the reason for the whole thing. So that was in chapter 3. And now all of chapter 4, at least the beginning of it, is trying to address the chaos created by a crippled man walking. We call him what? The walking and leaping and praising God man. So I believe this. I believe that he did not only receive his physical healing, but that he was made whole. There is a scripture in 2 Thessalonians 5:23. I think, look, you keep clicking. There we go. And this is the benediction of you, if you will, of that chapter, of that book. And it says this. Here's the blessing. Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. There it is. So what did this man do? He was walking, he was leaping, and he was praising God. So if we are triune beings, if we have three parts, so his body was walking. He hadn't been able to walk before, right? His soul was leaping, And his spirit was praising God. Do you see that? So, walking would have been enough, right? He has been sitting. He was 40 years old or in his 40s, and he's never been able to walk, and now he can walk. So the result would have been that Jesus came. No, Peter came and said, I don't have silver and gold. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whoosh, rise up. And the guy starts walking. Mission accomplished, right? But I serve a God that's not so totally, like that's not all for him. Because he gave me a soul. And my soul has emotions. And my soul has feelings. And my soul, it's a beautiful thing. So not only is he walking, but he starts leaping, and he starts jumping, and he starts praising God. So his body was healed, his soul reacted to what was happening, and his spirit starts praising God. And I think sometimes for us, we're just satisfied with the walking part. Pastor, just tell me the scripture and then the way that it is. And maybe Pioneer and Prayer and Praise needs to learn how to maybe express ourselves more with our emotions. What, leaping wasn't necessary. Do you see that? It's like the unnecessary part of God. I don't know how else to say it. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, he was already walking, he was healed. But now I serve a God who wants to have an encounter with you and who wants you to feel him. And he felt him. Not only was his bones and body straightened, but now something happened. And in his emotions, and your emotions are beautiful servants, but terrible leaders. So now, he had his emotions was acting according to the spirit that has raised him, and he can now walk. And he starts walking, and now he starts leaping and jumping up and down. Why? Because that's the God who wants you to meet him and have encounters with him. Walking and leaping and praising God. Do you see that? So maybe that's coming around to, as I see the runway now, landing the plane. Maybe that's one of the messages for you today, is to pursue the Holy Spirit and pursue that part of God that makes you leap and not only walk. That you're going, Holy Spirit, show me who I am inside of you. I don't want to jump and leap for jumping and leaping's sake, but I'm open to if you move me during worship, that I will leap. If you move me in my quiet time, that I will dance. I allow you, Holy Spirit, to not only speak information to me, but to move my heart. I love that. Is to be in pursuit. Thank you, Jesus. Let me pray. Father, I thank you for this word. Father, I thank you that we get to see the result of a man being healed. And Father, I pray that the stuff that we have looked at today, all these scriptures and all these things in here that points to a God that wants to have an encounter with us. I pray for myself, for Prayer and Praise, for my family, and for Pioneer, that we will start looking and be in pursuit of the part of God that wants to meet with us in an intimate way, that wants to stir our emotion, praising God, leaping and walking. Father, I pray that we will have this blessing just like this scripture says. So I want to just end by speaking this blessing over you. This is the scripture that I just read. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of Jesus Christ. We commit ourselves today to not only walk with you, but to leap with you and to praise you. And that wherever we go today and this week, that we will smell like Jesus because we've been with him. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Henrik. Give me a little hug. All right. I love you. That was great. Thank you very much. Love it. Could we have the prayer team pop up here real quick, folks, the prayer team? And we would love to just take a minute to pray with you. If there are things going on in your life or going on in your world that we can come alongside you and pray with you, we would love to do that. Do you believe you get some going on back there? No, she's like, woo, let's go prayer team. All right, we meet right over here and do that. Thank you, Henrik. That was a wonderful word. We so appreciate you coming. Do you still have your Bibles open? Flip to Acts chapter 5. All right, that's next week. What's the heading? Ananias and Sapphira. That's next week. Here's your homework. I need you to read that chapter two or three times. Like, read it two or three times before next week. We'll have a guest speaker next week. I know you wish it. It's Henrik. It's not. It's me next week. So get ready. We are going to get after money next week. We're going to get after it. And I think you'll enjoy it. It'll be interesting. And don't tilt your head like that. It's not. I'll do my very best. It'll be fine. I'm not a preacher, but it'll be fun. So we welcome you to come back next week, and we'll have a good, engaging discussion about money, and I think you'll enjoy it. So, hey, we love you, and Henrik is right. We want to be connected. We want to be in pursuit of Jesus. We want to be in pursuit of the Holy Spirit. We want our faith to be real and authentic. So stay together, talk and fellowship and enjoy each other's company and support each other. And if you need prayer, come. Let us pray over each other. But let's don't be done now today till next week, right? Let's don't be done. Let's pick up this cloak and put it on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. And let's be who God created us to be, right? Let's skip and jump and work our way in faith through our week until we can meet again next week, okay? We love you. We'll see you soon. Thanks for coming.